Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. I am Rebecca Balazan, and today we are studying Shoftim Perek Tet Zayin. And with this perek, we continue the story of Shimshon. And Shimshon goes down to Aza, and there he saw an Isha Zona, and he came to her. The Mefarshim basically have two approaches as to this Isha Zona. The Abarbanel contends that this was a harlot, a prostitute, and Shimshon went to her as he was drawn after his desire. And this actually echoes the Gemara in Sota, which states that the beginning of Shimshon's corruption was in Aza, and therefore, as we will see later in the Perek, Shimshon is struck in Aza. And some will question, what about the previous story about the woman in Timna, the Plishti woman that he took? The difference there is that, number one, he married her, and number two, many say that he actually converted her. So there is a little bit of a difference in the stories. And the other approach is that of the Rabbag, who says that this woman was actually an innkeeper. She was a zona milashon mizonos, sustenance, as she took care of people and she had an inn. And therefore, Shimshon went there to sleep in her inn. And the people there, the Azatayim, they were told that Shimshon had come to their neighborhood. And the people plotted and they waited all night by the gate of the city. And they were quiet because they said, in the light of the morning, we are going to attack and we are going to kill him. According to the Malbim, it was actually Shimshon who spread the rumor that he was in the city, perhaps as he was once again looking for a pretense to strike the Plishtim. Another opinion that it was actually the Isha Zona, the woman who outed him. And according to the Be'er Moshe, Shimshon went to this woman specifically because he knew that she knew many people and that she would tell them that he was there. So Shimshon lay until midnight, and at midnight he got up and he held the door of the gates of the city and the two posts because they were locked, and he basically uprooted them together and he put them on his shoulders and he brought them to the top of the mountain, which is facing Hebron. Now Hebron is not close to Aza, but Shimshon did this in order to instill fear in the Plishtim. And then Pasuk Dalet, it was after this that he loved a woman in Nachal Shorek, and her name was Dalila. And the Das Sofrim brings down the concept that when the language of Vayahi is used, it is a lashon of tzara, it is a lashon of misfortune. And that is exactly what Shimshon is doing in this situation. He is bringing a tzara, he is bringing a misfortune upon himself, as we will see. And after Shimshon ran from Aza, he does not return to Eretz Yisrael because he knew that the Plishtim were going to chase after him, and he didn't want to cause the Jews to have to either give him over again or to have to engage in a battle with the Plishtim. And therefore, he hides in the area of Nachal Shorek, which is on the border of Dan and the Plishtim. And he waits for an opportunity to strike the Plishtim. And there he loves a woman. And though the Pasuk doesn't write this, it is possible to describe, writes the Das Sofrim, how Shimshon met this woman and how he came into a relationship with her. Shimshon was hiding in this area, and he does not want to leave his hiding spot because he does not want the Plishtim to find him. And therefore, in this place, he sees this nice, kind-hearted woman who has mercy on him. She brings him food, she brings him water, she helps take care of him. And Shimshon gets to know her, and he sees that she's good and that she's worthy of being a Jew. And so he suggests that she converts, and with his influence, she accepts upon herself Judaism, and then he marries her. Also, at this time, Shimshon does not publicly convert her, something which is not kosher l'charchila, but it is permissible, it is mutzer b'di'eved. You should know, though, that there are many Mefarshim who contend that Shimshon does not convert this woman. And it's interesting to note, says the Das Sofrim, that in this case, the Pasuk says, and he loved her, not in the past, that he says that it was yashar be'inav, that it was good in his eyes, because she stood out in that she helped him, and therefore he believed that she would remain loyal to him and would return with him once again to Bnei Yisrael. Nevertheless, this marriage was considered a sin for Shimshon, as there was a certain personal aspect in this. Maybe it was the emotional attachment that brought his downfall. The Gemara in Sota tells us that she was called Dalila because she weakened him. Milashon Dildila, she weakened his strength, she weakened his heart, and she weakened his deeds. Now, according to the Malbim, we are told her name to show us that she kept her Plishti name because she did not convert. Pasuk Hey continues, and the lords of the Plishtim, they come to Dalila, and they said to her, persuade him, and to see why his strength is so great, and in what way we can prevail against him. We want to be able to tie him up and torture him. And if you do this, we will give you 1,100 silver pieces. And it's interesting to note that even though they know where Shimshon is, they do not go after Shimshon because they know that he will find a way to hit him. And therefore, they approach someone from their own nation to help them uncover the source of his strength. And the Plishtim tell her that they will torture him and they're going to remove his strength so that he does not harm them. They do not tell her that they will kill him because they knew that she would have not agreed to that. Now, it's really interesting to note the contrast between the two women in this story. Shimshon's mother, who is willing to abstain from indulgences in order to have this child who will save Bnei Israel, and this Plishti woman, who is willing to sell him out, to sell her husband out for these indulgences for this money. And Dalila said to Shimshon, "Tell me, what makes your strength so great, and with what may you be tied up and tortured?" Now, according to the Mitzuda, she's saying to him, "Show me your love by telling me what is hidden in your heart. I want to get to know you. I want to understand you. So please tell me what makes you special and unique." And Shimshon said to her, "If you tie me up with 7 moist strings, cords that did not dry, then I will become weak and I will be like any other man." Now, according to the Barbanel, he was really just joking with her in this response. But according to the Malbim, Shimshon is not saying the source of his strength, but rather he's only answering how they can tie him up. To Shimshon, his strength is natural, and history has really shown him this. Therefore, maybe he feels like he cannot be subdued. And so what happens? The lords of the Plishtim brought her 7 moist cords that did not dry, and she bound him with them. And the ambushers stayed in the room. According to the Mitzuda, they were not seen. They wanted to wait and see if what he said was actually true. And so she said to him, "The Plishtim have come upon you, Shimshon." And he tore the cords as if it was nothing. He did not even have to exert himself. And Dalila says to him, "You mocked me. You told me lies. Now tell me, with what can you be tied up?" And Shimshon said to her, "If I will be tied up with new ropes, with which no work has been done to it, then I will be weak like any other man." Now, according to the Malbim, Shimshon is saying to her, "I didn't trick you. I just left out some details. I forgot to tell you some things, right? Like that the rope needed to be thick, it had to have 3 braids, and that it had to be new." And so Dalila took new ropes and bound him with them. And she said to Shimshon, "The Plishtim have come upon you." And the ambushers were staying in the room. And he tore them from his arms like a thread. And Dalila said to Shimshon, Pasuk Yud Gimel, "Until now you have mocked me and you told me lies. Tell me, with what may you be tied up?" And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head to the roller, to the loom." And the Radak explains that Shimshon's hair was to be woven into the cloth on the loom, after which the roller would lock it into place. And Pasuk Yudalad, and she fastened it with a peg, and she said to him, "The Plishtim are upon you." And Shimshon awoke from his sleep, and he plucked away the peg of the web and the roller. Basically, he picks up the whole thing as if it's nothing. In the previous instances, the Plishtim were actually waiting. But at this point, after she was deceived twice, they're no longer paying attention to her words. Additionally, here the Pasuk tells us that he woke up. In the past, when she tied him up, he was awake. But now, when it has something to do with his hair, which is more complicated because he's a Nazir, it was nothing that he would have actually let her do while he was awake, and therefore she does it while he is sleeping. Pasuk Tet Vav, and she said to him, "How can you say I love you while your heart is not with me? These 3 times you have mocked me, and you have not told me why or wherein your strength is so great." According to the Malbim, after 3 attempts to find out how to tie Shimshon, she went back to her original question as to what is the source of your strength. She could no longer ask him, "Please tell me how I can tie you up," because she knew that he would suspect that she was working with the Plishtim. So therefore now she goes back to asking about the source of his strength, and it seems as though she wants to really get to know him. She wants to know his nature. She wants to understand how he has this superhuman power and what makes him so special. And so she nags him with her words every day, and she pressures him to literally, she drives him near death. She makes him crazy. And Pasuk Yud Zayin, and Shimshon tells her all his heart. From here we see how she weakened his heart, and he said to her, "A razor has not come on my head, for I am a Nazir for God from my mother's womb. If I will be shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak like any man." And we see from here that Shimshon knew his strength was not natural, but it was connected to his Nazirus, and when he stops being a Nazir, his strength will leave him. And the telling of Dalila was not a sin, but rather, when she actually cut it off, it was then considered that he did it because he should have known, he should have understood what her intentions were. Or perhaps it's possible that Shimshon thought nothing would happen to him, as his past has shown him, because even if she does cut his hair, that's not the real source of his strength. The source of his strength is God. And therefore, if the hair is cut against his will, it is not on him. And if God still wants to give him the strength, he will do so. And Dalila saw that he had told her all his heart, and she sent and she called to the lords of the Plishtim, saying, "Come up, this time he has told me all his heart." And the lords of the Plishtim came up to her and brought the money in their hands. So how does Dalila know that this time Shimshon was actually telling her the truth? And the Gemara in Sota explains that she knew a righteous person would not say Hashem's name for no reason. So when Shimshon said, "Nazir Elokim Ani," I am a Nazir of God, she said, now he must be telling the truth. And the Masuda adds that truth is recognizable. She saw him acting as a Nazir. She saw that he had long hair. She saw that he had abstained from wine. So therefore, she knew that what he was saying must be true. And Dalila puts him to sleep on her knees, and she called the man to the barber, and she shaved off the 7 locks of his head. Perhaps the barber shaved under her instructions, or perhaps she took the scissors from the barber and began to cut. But either way, she cut his hair, and she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. And she said to him, "The Plishtim are on you." And Shimshon woke up, and he said, "I'll get out, just as I did every other time." But the pasuk tells us, "V'hu lo yadaki Hashem sar me'alav." He did not know that Hashem had left him. Shimshon, whose strength was from Hashem, could not continue in that way once Hashem decided that he was no longer worthy. And the Plishtim seized him, and they gouged his eyes, and they brought him down to Aza and bound him with copper chains, and he did grind in the prison. According to the Das Sofrim, Shimshon's eyes were taken out because he used his eyes to choose Plishti women. And even though he did this in order to save Bnei Yisrael, his eyes did not remain clean. This, says the Das Sofrim, is the judgment for those pure people who cannot end their lives without purification. And the Plishtim brought Shimshon to Aza to show the people, "Look what happened to the man that uprooted the gates of your city." But Hashem brought Shimshon to Aza because it was there that Shimshon stumbled, to show that even the righteous are punished when they sin. And he did grind with the mill. According to the Mitsuda, this was hard and degrading work. This was customary in those days to have a mill in the prison so that they could benefit from the hard work of the prisoners. And according to Chazal and the Gemara in Sota, the word tochein refers to the transgression of sexual intercourse. And the Das Sofrim further elucidates that the Plishtim brought their wives to Shimshon in hope that they would become pregnant by Shimshon, and that they would have a son who was a gibor, who was mighty and strong like Shimshon. And Shimshon was blind, and he had his arms and his legs tied, so he was completely powerless to stop them, and they were able to do as they pleased with him. We see how morally depraved the Plishti people were. And the pasuk tells us, Chafbet, and the hair of his head began to grow after it was shaven. Shimshon's hair growing back shows the Nazirus once again. And because of this, Hashem will once again give him some strength. And the lords of the Plishtim gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, to their God, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered our enemy Shimshon into our hands." And the people saw Shimshon, and they praised their God because they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our lands, who has killed so many of us." And it was when their hearts were merry and that they said, "Call for Shimshon and he'll make a sport for us." And so they call Shimshon out of the prison house, and he makes sport before them, and they stood him between the pillars. And Shimshon said to the nar, to the boy that held his hands, "Allow me to feel the pillars upon which the house rests so that I may lean upon them." Shimshon has, in fact, been to Aza before. He has seen this place, and so now he has a plan. And we see that no matter what happens to Shimshon, he has tremendous faith that Hashem will help him out. And the house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Plishtim were there. And on the roof there were 3,000 men and women that were there watching Shimshon's sport. And Shimshon calls to Hashem, and he says, "Hashem, Zachreinina v'chazkenina ach hapam hazeh Elokim. O Lord God, remember me and strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged the vengeance for one of my two eyes from the Plishtim." According to the Yerushalmi and Sota, Shimshon is asking Hashem to give him reward reward for one of his eyes in this world, and the reward for the other eye will be in the world to come. And Shimshon grasped the two pillars of the center on which the house rested, and he leaned on them, one with his right hand and one with his left hand. And Shimshon said, "Let my soul die with the plishtim," and he bent with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. And the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed during his lifetime. And his brothers and all of his father's household came down, and they carried him, and they brought him up, and they buried him between Sarah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Bnei Israel for 20 years. Shimshon is the last shofet that is listed in Sefer Shoftim. And the story of Shimshon is one of the roundabout ways that Bnei Israel were saved in a time that they were not worthy for a complete and pure salvation. Therefore, when Yaakov saw the future story of Shimshon, he says, "Lishuascha ki visi Hashem," meaning Hashem saved Bnei Israel in other ways than this, because this does not bring about a complete geula, a complete redemption. Additionally, the story of Shimshon teaches Bnei Israel the dangers of intermarriage, and not only intermarriage, of putting ourselves in compromising situations. If a Nazir of Hashem, who acted for the good of Bnei Israel, stumbled, how much more so can we stumble when we put ourselves in compromising places? And with this, we conclude the last shofet in Sefer Shoftim. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.